Today's daf is Shabbos daf Chav Vav. We left off on daf Chav Hayam and Beis. We are at about 8 lines before the end of the page. Tana Rabbanan, Eza Ashir. So the Braisa says, what is the definition of an Ashir? So the Braisa tells us, Kol Sheyesh Lo Nachas Ruach Ba'Ashro Divrei Remeir. That Remeir holds, it's anyone who has Nachas Ruach Ba'Ashro, anyone who takes satisfaction in his Ashirus. The Rashi points out, L'may Nafkamina to know what the definition of an Ashir is. Who cares what an Ashir is? So Nafkamina L'mitrach La'Durei Milsa. So the nafkamina is that in general, when it comes to giving somebody tzedakah, the halacha is that you have to give him demach sura sheyechsalo, you have to give him up until what he feels he's lacking. So if a person has more money than I have, but I feel content with what I have, and he feels that he's lacking, so I happen to, then I would be an ashir, and he would not be an ashir, and I would have if not an obligation, at least a kiyum mitzvah of tzedakah to give him tzedakah money. Now, it's not a priority in tzedakah to give somebody who has everything that he needs, but doesn't feel like he has everything that he needs. It may not be the top priority in tzedakah, but it's certainly a kiyum mitzvah of tzedakah to give him day machzorah sheyechsulo when he's grown accustomed to a certain level of expectation. There are sugis and mesechs ksuvis about this, where the Gemara tells us stories of people who grew accustomed to a certain standard of living and certain types of food, and when they could no longer afford that kind of food, even though they were still able to get other kind of less quality food, lower quality food, their stomachs couldn't handle it and they died simply because they were used to a finer level of living. So that's the halacha of giving somebody until he reaches his point of ashirus. So that's nafkamina, knowing who is an ashir. So a meir shita is anyone who has nachas ruach ba'ashro. That's the definition of an ashir. Simin matkas, the Gemara says, the simin of the four different shitos of the definition of an ashir, the names are mem, tes, kuf, and samach. So the first shita we already saw is Rabbi Meir. That's the mem in the simin. Second shita, Rabbi Tarfon, the tes. Rabbi Tarfon omer, kol shiyesh lo kuf kramim umeya sadlos v'kuf avadim shov. Anyone who has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants that work in those vineyards and fields, that is the definition of Ashirus. You want to know what Ashirus is? You got to be really rich. It can't just be someone who's rich in spirit or rich in his mind. To be really rich, that's the definition of Ashirus. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Sheyesh Lo Isha Na B'Masim. True wealth is someone who has a wife who has fine, refined character, who has fine midos. That is a true wealthy man. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva is the kuf, even though it starts with an ayin, but Akiva, the second letter, is a kuf, so that's why it's the kuf in the simin. And Rabbi Yossi is the samach in the simin. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol sheyesh lo beis hakiseh, samach l'shulchano. Anyone who has a beis hakiseh near his shulchan, near his table, that's considered to be an ashir. Meaning, as long as he has the basic things that he needs in life, that he doesn't have to hold himself in, that he could go to the bathroom whenever he pleases, that's all a person needs in order to rise to the level of ashira. So there are a couple, obviously this begs for explanation. What are they arguing about in terms of the definition of ashiras? Why there are four different shitos over here in terms of the definition? So two quick points that the Achronim make. Number one is the Marsha in the Chidushe in the Chidushe Agados over here says Nir lefarish deos usvaros tahani tanai mishum di yesh ashir shema asif lekavod shia lo shem begadol. Let me say, so why do people try to amass wealth? Some people try to amass wealth for their own honor, for their own glory, that they can rub elbows with the higher levels of society, v'lios nikra ashir, to be called an ashir, v'yesh ma'asif osher mishum shechoshev shetzarech harbe leparnasos ishto, v'she'er v'ksus shechayev la. Some people have high-maintenance wives, and that's why they amass wealth, because they think in order to support their wives' standards of living, they need a lot of money. V'yesh ma'asif shechoshev shetzarech lo b'myavol of choli. And some are just very nervous about what the future holds. What happens if I get sick tomorrow and I'm never going to be able to work again? What happens if this, if that? So they want to put away enough money that no matter what happens, they'll always have enough. Shalit Sarich Lubrios, that they'll never have to take any charity from anybody. V'kamer Rabbi Tarfon, klapi mishama asif l'kavod lios nikra ashir. So Rabbi Tarfon says, if you think that you're going to amass wealth in order to be someone who's respected and someone who's looked up to, v'derech guzma ka'amar she she'enu nikra ashir ala sheyesh lo kuf kramim. He gives an exaggeration when he says 100 vineyards, 100 fields. He says, and when is it going to stop? When are you going to have enough that you feel respected enough? If you have millions, you can run hundreds of millions. If you have hundreds of millions, you can run billions. It's never going to stop. There's never enough. V'adim b'yosef da'ayv kesef lo yispa kesef. V'im kein lo yigia l'tavas olios nikra ashir li'olam. So you're never going to be an ashir. It's just not a worthwhile endeavor because a person can never actually achieve that level of ashirus. Uklape shema asif l'tzorich ishto. What about the guy who wants to be an ashir because he feels his wife needs the ashirus? His wife is a high maintenance woman. So shetzricha harbe lios no bikishutim. She needs the finest jewelry, etc. So that's a kamar Rabbi Akiva de inza ashir. The liolam lo tistapik. That's never going to be enough either. The himeva keshes limudu bioser. Avol zen nikra ashir sheish lo isha na b'maaseha. If that's what you need the ashirus for, then there's something fundamentally wrong. Meaning the only ashir is going to be someone who has a wife who's na b'maaseha and doesn't make such demands. And that would be your true ashirus. She's not being mevakish too much. So that's, and clearly Rabbi Akiva was speaking from personal experience. He was talking about Bas Kalba Savua, who was his wife, who was Mistapik B'Mu'at, not only Mistapik B'Mu'at in terms of material wealth, but Mistapik B'Mu'at in terms of the time she was even able to spend with her husband, sent him away to learn in yeshiva, and Yodea Nefesh Sadik Ba'amto, she was Moser Nefesh constantly for him. So that if that's the Gemara in Ksuvus and Daf Samach, the Gemara goes through the whole story of Rabbi Akiva. And what about the third person? The person thinks he needs Ashirus for the future in case he gets sick or anything like that. So he says, you know what? The best way to protect yourself from needing that kind of Ashirus is live a healthy life. So have a bathroom close to your table. Have the ability to live a healthy life, because that's considered to be something the Gemara assumes that we already saw in the Maseches Brachos, that it's sakana. If a person holds himself in when he has to go to the bathroom, that could lead to a sakana. So if you're worried about that, about your future health and earning potential, the best way to do it is to take care of yourself, and then you won't have to worry so much about that. So those are the three shitas. Rav Meir is just the first one, is just to be satisfied in life, to be happy with what a person has. That's how the Marsha understands the different shitas. The Maritz Chayis in the back of the Gemara says that each one was speaking from personal experience. We already saw Harav Yekiva, obviously, speaking from personal experience. Maritz Chayis, who was very sensitive to the names of the different Tanaim and Amorayim and what they're, you know, and what we know about them throughout Shas, tells us all of them were speaking from personal experience. He says Rav Meir was a lavler, he was a sofer. The Gemara says in Erev and Yud Gimel and Gittin Samach Zayin, Rav Meir chacham v'sofer. In Yerushalmi it says Rav Meir kasvin tov. He v'estaker b'kol shvo gimel slotin. He knew how to write very well, and he made three slotin of that's how much money he made each week. Achel b'chad, one sela would be used to support his family to eat. V'sela echel d'tzorach malbushin, one for clothing. V'sela shlishi nasan rabbanan, and another one to support talmidei chachamim. So we see that of all of his money, fully one third of his money went to support talmidei chachamim, and the rest of it was just his basic needs, his basic sustenance. So Rav Meir knew about not being interested in ashirus. He never saved anything. Everything was used on either basic sustenance or tzedakah, supporting talmidei chachamim. So he was nena miyagio. That's why Rav Meir says you should just have nachas ruach ba'asho. That's all you need. You don't need anything beyond that. L'chora, that's a very difficult thing, because the halacha is hamavazis alivazis yosem michamash, that you're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah. So why was he able to do that? So there is a halacha that an ashir muflag, an ashir, someone who's a very wealthy person, is allowed to spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah. As maybe that's the nafkamina, ezahu ashir. Who counts as an ashir, meaning who can spend more than 20% of your money in tzedakah? Rav Meir had nachas ruach b'asho, he was happy with what he had. So he felt that he was an ashir muflag, that he was an unusually wealthy person, and therefore he was able to spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah. I mentioned in the past, Rav Shechter told me once in passing that he gives way more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. He said, I'm an ashir muflag. Now, most people are probably not defined, you know, living in even a nice-sized apartment in Washington Heights to be an ashir muflag, but if a person feels like they're an asher muflag, so then he can spend more than 20% of his money on tzedakah. So that's Rabbi Meir. So that's why Rabbi Meir goes with that. Rabbi Tarfon was taka, a very wealthy person. He says in Maseches Kala, it's in and Maseches Nedarim, tells us Rabbi Tarfon was an usher gadol. So he says, what's an usher? Someone who has 100 fields, 100 vineyards, because Rabbi Tarfon had all of those things. Meaning everyone was just looking at themselves and saying, I'm an ashir. What's the definition of ashirus? Look at me. I'm happy with what I have and everything I have. So that must be the definition of ashirus. Rabbi Akiva had an ishana b'maisim. So that's why he emphasized ishana b'maisim. And he says, Rabbi Yossi said, Yehi chelki imameisim b'choli me'ayim, that Rabbi Yossi is the one that said an ashir, someone who has a beis hakise, samuch l'shulchano, because Rabbi Yossi is the one in Shabbos Taf Kuf Yud Ches who emphasized the importance of keeping good health, of not having stomach ailments. So for Rabbi Yossi, that was something that was a very important point. So that was the definition of ashirus. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Vaitetanya Rabbi Shimon Elozo Omer, Ein Madlikim Betzari. So he said, you're not allowed to use tzari to light with. My time, what's the reason you're not allowed to use tzari? The Gemara is going to give two reasons immediately, and then a third reason later on in the daf. Number one, the Gemara says, the reason you're not allowed to do it, Amar Rabba, Mitoch Sharecho, no Dev, Gzera Shemistapik Mimenu. Since it has a very strong smell, it has a positive smell, not a bad smell, it has a very good smell, we're afraid a person is going to try to take some of the oil and use it and rub it on his skin, or use it for some other purpose, because it's such a sweet-smelling oil. Maritz Chaya says, based on what we say, Kol HaShemanim, that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, also on Chanukah you're not allowed to use. So tzari, even though during a weekday there's no chashash that mistapik mimenu, that you might come to use it, and because during a weekday there's no violation of mechabe, so by Ner Chanukah, where it's huktzol mitzvaso, it's asur b'achila and even for anah, and therefore the chashash Hashem yistapik applies by Ner Chanukah as well. He says, meaning it could be that you might think Zer Hashem yistapik mimenu is a din in Shabbos, that it's going to be called kibbuy, that you're extinguishing the flame because you're taking away some of the fuel supply. But he said, maybe even for Ner Chanukah, that since the oil is hooked to the mitzvah, so it's meant to be used only for the mitzvah, and you're not allowed to use it for anything else, so that same gezerah might apply to Neros Chanukah as well. So says the Gemara, that's one reason we're afraid that you mistapik menu. Amar le Abaye, lem marmneshu af. Why don't you give a different reason? It's a very flammable oil, and the fact that it's a very flammable oil, if you look at Rashi, v'nidbak mekos le Abaye, so madlikas Abaye, it could attach itself to the walls of the house, and you could burn your house down if you're not careful with it. So why don't you say that reason? So Tosus points out, v'yevol al mamono v'yevol lichbos, and therefore, what's the concern? The concern is, when your house is on fire, you're going to be bol al mamono, you're going to want to save your house, all your money, so you're going to come to extinguish the flame. And halachically, if there's no one's life at stake, which is a very rare thing, normally when there's a house fire, someone's life is at risk, if not yours, because you feel you can get out, then your neighbors who don't know that there's a fire in your house, and fires can spread fairly rapidly, but let's assume that you live on an island, and you have a boat, and or whatever, I don't know, you have some way to get out, where your life is not at stake. The halacha is, no matter how much money is at stake, you're not allowed to extinguish a fire on Shabbos. It's a violation of Melacha D'Oraisa, and you have to give up all your money in order to avoid violating a lav. So that's the concern. So Frek Tosfos Tema, Davle the Memer Afilu B'chol Nami Litzah, Kedam Rele Kaman, Dein Madlik Menef Tav, and Afilu B'chol Mnei Shu'af. Well, we should have said that it's also to do even on a weekday, because we're going to see later on that the reason of something being flammable and causing your house to light on fire is something that's not only a din in Shabbos of Shemi Yechabe, it's something we don't want you to do, because we don't want you to do dangerous things. We don't want you to get into a situation where you're going to burn your house down. So why are we only emphasizing Shabbos and not a weekday? Okay, Tosfos leaves that unanswered. But says the Gemara, the Gemara's question was, why do you only mention that the reason is that Gzeirah Shem Yistabik Mimenu, that it smells so good, you might use it, why not say the fact that it's very flammable? So says the Gemara, Chadav Yod Ka'amar, where both reasons are valid reasons. Chadav Mneshu Af, Number one, we're worried about the fact that it's very flammable and that it could attach to the walls of the houses very easily. And number two, we're also afraid that you might come to be mistabik from it. Along those lines, the Gemara tells a story. There was a mother-in-law, as hard as it is to imagine, who really didn't like her daughter-in-law at all. So Amrullah, Zil Ikshit Bimishkada Parsima. So she told her daughter-in-law, I have a great idea, let's go put on this sweet smelling balsam oil and it will be wonderful. We'll both smell so good. So Azla Ikshit, Kiasis Amrla, Zil Itli Sharga. So she went and she put on the oil, and then when she came, she said, okay, now do me a favor, can you just light that candle for me? So Azla Itli Sharga, so the daughter-in-law unsuspectingly went and lit the candle. Inpach Banura va Achalta, and the fire caught a hold of her and burnt her, and the mother-in-law was able to, in that way, without directly doing it, to burn her daughter-in-law to death. So the this beautiful relationship that's described between mother-in-laws and daughters-in-law is something that comes up throughout Shas. The Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin says everyone is neman to be made about a woman that makes baila that her husband had died and therefore she can get remarried, except for a few people, and one of the people on the list is Chamosa, is her mother-in-law, because we assume the mother-in-law is always out to get the daughter, and there's always an ulterior motive. Rashi says Chamosa son aso umiskavenes lekalkala, that she's always trying to mess up the daughter-in-law. So meres beliba zu tochal kol yigiyeh v'amali, she's always thinking in her heart, I raised this kid for all this time, I put all my efforts and all my energy into raising this kid, and this woman is getting all the benefit of it. He's putting all of his energy into her, and he's putting all of her and all of his midos that I trained him to have, he's using on his relationship with her rather than on his relationship with me, which he's supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to do. But sometimes there's a little bit of resentment. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that on Daf Kofei, that sinam vatelas ashura, that sometimes even civilized people, when there's a sinna that causes them to become uncivilized and they don't think straight and they do things that normal nice people would not do. So that's the assumption, that sometimes the relationships aren't what they should be in terms of mother-in-laws and daughters-in-law. Now, if you look at Tosos, Chada Va'od Ka'amar, Tosos, V'kasha L'ri, D'tanya B'samach Hatzari Enu El Esraf Me'atzei Aktaf, Mashma Da'atam L'fi She'enu Nimshach Achar Apsila, U'mahu Tzruch L'vados Atam Midaita. I mentioned to you before, we're going to have three reasons why you're not allowed to use this type of oil. Two of them are mentioned over here. This Chada Va'od, the one of the, that it smells so good you might come to use it, and the other one that it's off, I guess now it begins. And the other one that it's very, very flammable. So Frak tells us the Gemara is going to give a third reason, a third very good reason, and that is that it's not nimshach achar psila, that it doesn't light well. So why would they make up? Why would the Amorai make up their own reason when there's a perfectly good brisa with a perfectly good reason as to why you're not allowed to use this kind of oil? So I saw in Shar Mitzion Balachi, quotes from the Or Sameach in the 5th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Yud, that when the Gemara says mitoch shereicha nodef, and we're afraid you're going to take some of the oil, so what's going to be the chiyuv? The chiyuv is going to be mechabe. Now, for mechabe, that's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You're also not allowed to do it on yantif, right? We know that kibui is asra on yantif. Havara, you're allowed to do the tzorach achol nefesh, and even shalom the tzorach achol nefesh if there's a tzorach hayom. Havara, you're allowed to do, but not kibui. But the reason cannot be, says the Or Sameach, simply because eino nimshach achar psila, because what's the concern if it's eino nimshach achar psila, if the oil doesn't take to the wick so well, that you're going to tilt it a little bit. And what's going to happen when you tilt it? You're going to put more oil around the wick, and that's going to cause the flame to light better, which is a violation of Havara, says the Or Sameach. So based on that, we can understand very well how to answer Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos saying, what do the Amoraim need to come up with their own reasons for? We have a perfectly good reason, Eino Nimshach Achar Psila. Now the Amoraim were coming up with their own reasons because they were trying to explain that it's not only Asur Light on Shabbos, it's Asur Light on Yantif as well. The reason that Tanayim gave, that you might come to tilt the candle, that only explains Shabbos, that where Havara is Asur. But Yantif, where Havara is Mutter, it would be totally Mutter. So the Amoraim had to come up with a reason that relates to Mechabe, which would make it Aser on Yom Tov as well. The other issue that I just saw discussed, that was very interesting, Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemer over here raised the shaila, what if a person has some sort of skin ointment that they need to put on for refuah, they have some sort of medication? Sometimes you'll notice on these things, the warning sign will be flammable, don't play with fire, don't go near fire, because it could be flammable material. So the shaila was, should such a person light Ner Chanukah, should they light Ner Shabbos, if they have to put on this type of cream that maybe is flammable? So he quotes our Gemara, Ema Likin Bitsari Mipneshu Af. So he quotes Tosos over here. Tosos raises the question, why don't we say that even on a weekday it's Aser to light with Tsari? Because of the fact that it's off, because it's flammable. So the Rashba and the Meiri say, yeah, the Gemara means to say that it's also to light on a weekday also. It doesn't mean to say only on Shabbos. If it's flammable, you shouldn't do dangerous things. So the Gemara says it on a weekday also. But the Tosus doesn't sound that way. Tosus sounds like he understood the Gemara is only talking about Shabbos, that on a weekday it would be mutter. He just doesn't know why. Why would it be mutter on a weekday? The fact that it's flammable should be enough to make it also on a weekday also. So Tosus leaves it unresolved. Says maybe it could be Miyashiv Tosfos, says Rav Zilberstein, based on a comment of the Leket Yosher. Leket Yosher writes like this: Bebeis Hanachri Madlik Bechanuka Rak Ner Echad V'Shamash Echad. Let's say you're renting a house or you're living in a house of a guy. So when it comes to Ner Chanukah, he says, do the bare minimum. Even though by Ner Chanukah we always emphasize Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minah Mahadrin, lighting more candles and more candles. When you live in the house of a guy, you light the bare minimum. Ner Echad Shamash Echad. Even though the guy doesn't care and he says you can do whatever you want, I don't care. Why? Shema achas l'meya pa'amim tavo sakana mimenu. Even if it's just a 1 in 100 chance, 1 in 100 is a pretty high chance, you know, when you're dealing with sakana. But he said, even if it's just a 1 in 100 chance that lighting those extra candles is going to be a fire hazard, as it's going to cause a sakana, kolomer tislakach srefa via genai lemitzvah. So then, what's everyone going to say? This guy, the guy, is going to see what happened. He burnt my house down doing what? Doing a mitzvah, and that's going to be a terrible chilul Hashem. And he said, we find the raya to this is from chasa b'lel Pesach, when we eat marar on Lel Pesach, that we eat together with charoses. Why do we eat together with charoses? The Gemara says, because it could be dangerous to eat it without charoses. And what? So what? We eat lettuce the rest of the year without charoses. So why dafka on the Lel Seder do we have to make sure that we kill whatever bacteria or germs with the charoses? Why do we have to be more safe on the Lel Seder than we do the rest of the year where we're not makbet to have charoses? Because the rest, it says Leket Yosher, the rest of the year we're not doing a mitzvah. But if someone were to become ill or to die doing a mitzvah, that would be a terrible chilul Hashem. And dafka, when it comes to a mitzvah, we want to be extra safe. So he says that maybe that's the answer to Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos is bothered. Why do we say that on a weekday it's okay to light with this flammable material, but on Shabbos it's aser? It's just as flammable during the week as it is on Shabbos. No, it's not so dangerous that you have to stay away from it during the week, but it's dangerous enough that you have to avoid the chilul Hashem of having something negative come out, of having something dangerous come out from your religious observance. So he said maybe that's the teretz to Tosis Kasha. So he says, based on the story that the Gemara concludes with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, perhaps by Ner Chanukah it would be better to have a shliach light for him the Ner Chanukah or the Ner Shabbos than for the person to light for himself. He should have to be extra careful when it comes to mitzvahs. I was thinking that probably relates to severe weather situations also. A lot of times if there's a hurricane or something like that, people want to be a hero and they want to go and make sure that they go to shul and that they don't miss a minyan or whatever. If it gets so dangerous that it's dangerous to walk outside, Baruch Hashem, now it doesn't seem that way, but if it gets so dangerous that it's dangerous to walk outside, so in addition to being an obvious violation of halacha, that you're not allowed to put yourself in harm's way to make a minyan, it could be that it's a risk of a tremendous chilul Hashem. If something happens to a person as they're going to, you hear on the news, the person was going to shul, he was going to synagogue to pray, in the middle of a hurricane when everyone's boarded up in their houses, and that's what caused sakana, so that's a terrible chilul Hashem as well. So that's a dafyomi coincidence, I guess. Okay, says the Gemara Vayit. Umidalas ha'aretz hishu nuvuzradin rav tabachim, nuvuzradin, the chief butcher, he's a butcher of human beings, from the poor of the land, he left over lakormim uliyogvim. He left over people to be kormim and yogvim. What are that? Kormim to what are those people? Kormim, Tani Rav Yosef, elu malakte aparsimon mein gedi vad ramasa. These are the people who pick a parsimon, so to make the oil, from En Gedi until Ramasa. So he wanted to have those people around. Yogvim, what are Yogvim? Rashi says Yogvim is Lashon Yakovim, as the Gimel and the Kuf apparently interchangeable. So Elut Sayade Chilazon me Sulamos Shel Tzur Vat Chaifa. These are the people who trap the Chilazon from Sulamos Tzur until Chaifa. So obviously that's important in terms of identifying where the Chilazon is found. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Lashon Yakovim Sha'ot Upotzin esachilazon lahotzi damo. Potzin means to crack. They crack the chilazon in order to extract the blood of the chilazon. Kedam paraklal gadol. That's the lashon the Gemara is going to have later on. That you're potseya the chilazon. That's one of the rayas that they have. That the psil tchelis people have. That the chilazon and not just them. I mean Rav Herzog and others. That the chilazon must not be a fish. We often think of it as a fish, but you don't crack a fish. You cut a fish open. What do you crack? A snail that has a hard shell. You would crack. So it sounds from the Lashon Potseya, sounds like the Chilazon is more of a snail than a fish. Rav Per from Yeshiva Farakway had a whole response to that in one of the journals. He tried to show that Potseya does not necessarily mean to crack, but Pasha reading it sounds like it does mean to crack something open. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Madikim B'Tevel Tamei B'Chol Vein Tzarich Lam Shabbos. A person should not use Tevel Tameh to light with during a weekday, and for sure not to use on Shabbos. Says Rashi, Eim Adikim B'Tevel Tameh V'Kol Shkein B'Tohar. Rashi says, you're not allowed to use Tevel Tameh, you're also not allowed to use Tevel Tohar. Kal V'Chomer, you're not allowed to use Tevel Tohar to light with. Meaning Tevel Tameh, you think, what's the big deal that it's Tevel? I'm going to be Mafresh Trumas, and then it will be Truma Tameh. So I'm not going to get anything out of it anyway that's really worthy of an ideal situation. So, but Kal V'Chomer, if it's Tevel Tahar, where you could be Mafresh Truma and the Kohen will be able to eat the Truma, so you shouldn't use up the Tevel. Says Tosfos, Pirush V'Kunchos V'Kolshkein B'Tevel Tahar Ve'ein Nira D'lo Avi Kolshkein. He says, I don't think that's really a Kal V'Chomer. D'mehechitesi, why would one assume Tevel Tameh is any better than Tevel Tahar? Elohu Adin B'Tevel Tahar. It doesn't mean a Kal V'Chomer, just now let's use Tevel. Don't light with Tevel on a weekday or on Shabbos. Lav davka that it's a kal v'chomer from tamei to tar. Just neither one. You can't use either one. Di althinan tevel tar mi tevel tamei. We learn tevel tar from tevel tamei. Ma tevel tamei en l'chabo shumana shel kilui el mei arama ve'elach av tevel tar came. We're going to see soon in the Gemara. Just like tevel tamei, you're not allowed to get any hana'ah from it until you mafresh truma. Meaning, if you have truma tamei, are you allowed to get hana'ah from it? So we already saw yesterday, and we'll see again today, that truma tamei that a kohen has, he is allowed to get hana, shel kilui. There's a chiv to burn it, and he's allowed to benefit from it and enjoy it while he's burning it. He can use that fire for whatever he wants to use that fire. He can benefit from that fire. So, but when does that hana become mutter? Only when you're mafresh truma, not while it's still tevel. While it's still tevel, you're not allowed to get any hana from it. So tevel tahor also. Kohen's allowed to eat truma tahora, but while it's tevel, he's not. You're not allowed to eat something that's still tevel. Avalana she'ena shel kilu shari. But if you're going to get a kind of hana'ah from the tevel that won't use it up, it's not lighting a fire, it's not eating it, it's still going to be there. Let's say you want to use it as a paperweight. You want to use it to board up your house. You have the big piles of grain that you think can block your windows from storm winds or something. You board up it. It's not going to get destroyed. It's just going to be there in a bag and it will still be there afterwards. That kind of hana'ah you're allowed to get from tevel. There's no iser hana'ah from tevel. There's Isser of Hanah Shel Kilui, that you're not allowed to use it up. That's a din of Tevel. So anyway, back in the Gemara, it says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Eim Adikim B'Tevel Tameh B'Chol Ve'Ein Tzarich Lam B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to light with Tevel Tameh on a weekday, nor may you light with it on Shabbos. Kayotze Bo Ein Madikim B'Neft Lavan B'Chol Ve'Ein Tzarich Lam B'Shabbos. You also shouldn't use Nafta on during the weekday, and certainly not on Shabbos either. So says the Gemara, why not Nafta? Bishlam B'Neft Lavan Mipnei Shu'af. because it's very flammable and you could burn your house down. So that I understand you're not allowed to use on Shabbos or a weekday. This is what Tosfos was referring to before. Why do we need all these fancy reasons of not using it on Shabbos? I'm sorry, if the reason is Mimnei Shu'af, why is it only us on Shabbos? It should be us on a weekday, like we say by Neft. So that's what some of the Rishonim say in Achinami. It's us on a weekday also. Anything that's off, anything that you're worried about burning your house down, is going to be us on a weekday as well. Aval Tevel Tamei my time. But what's the problem with Tevel Tamei? Why would it be us to use Tevel Tamei? So Amakra Vani Nein Asati L'chas Mishmeres Trumosai. Pasuk says Trumos, as in the plural, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Trumos. B'shtei Trumos HaKadosh Medaber. It's talking about two types of Truma, like we saw yesterday. Achas Truma Tahora, V'achas Truma Tameya. That both Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya are things that one is allowed to benefit from, that a Kohen is allowed to get anah from. Ma Truma Tahora in L'chaba Elami Shas HaRama V'yelech. Just like Truma Tahora, when is a Kohen allowed to get anah from it? That's only after the truma is taken from it, not while it's still tevel, only after one has separated truma from it. Af truma tameya elach haba el mishas harama ve'elach. So to truma tameya, the kohen is only allowed to benefit from the fire only after it was designated as truma. But if it were still tevel, if it were still just left as untithed produce, then the kohen is not allowed to get any benefit from it. There is a chakira in the achronim to try to figure out what the relationship is between the isur tevel and the isur truma. Rav Yosef Engel has a piece on this. Do we assume that tevel is usur because there's chulin and truma mixed in together that are inseparable from each other, that you can't decipher one from the other, and therefore the isur of tevel is just an isur mishum truma shabo? It's something that's usur as like a tarovis of truma, that it's something that has truma mixed in. Or do you say no, it's a totally separate shem isur? The isur of tevel has nothing to do with truma. It's not even truma. It's only truma once you designate something as truma. The isur of tevel is completely separate as tevel. Or to flip it around, if Yosef Engel says maybe it's the other way. Maybe the isur of truma is just a continuation of the isur tevel. That the isur tevel is a real isur in the Torah. Elamai, there's a way to be misakein most of it. There's a way to fix most of it. How do you fix most of it? By designating truma. That takes away the isur tevel from whatever isn't truma. The isur tevel remains on thing that is truma. Except even that, a kohen is allowed to eat. A non-kohen is not allowed to eat. Okay, you have to figure out what the nafkaminas are in terms of the mechanics of how tevel and truma interact with each other, and try to be medayik in the different gemaras. Our gemara certainly sounds like they're very much related to each other. The gemara says that truma tahora and truma tameya are only mutter mishas harama v'yelech, which makes it sound like it's still Truma Torah, meaning it was Truma Torah and Truma Tameya before the Harama also. Before the Harama, it wasn't Truma Torah, it was Tevel. So it sounds like there's some deep connection between these two Isurim. Gufa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ema Likim Tsari. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says you're not allowed to use Tsari to light with. That's what we started today's daf with. We started by talking about Rabbi Shimon Elazar telling us not to use Tsari, and we had two Shitos and Amoraim, why you're not allowed to use it. And remember, I said there's going to be a third reason not to use it, and that's the reason we're mentioning right now. As Rashi points out, Ema Likim Tsari, Kin Mefarish La'el, the two reasons we said before, Va'od, Kitakatani Vazil Deinu Bamin Apri, Elamina Eitz Sraf Bialma, and the third reason we're going to have now is that since it doesn't come from the pri, it only comes from the wood, it's viewed as sap, it's not viewed as a proper oil. That's why we don't use tsari. All it is it's sap from the wood, and therefore it's no good. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Kalayotzi Min Eitz and Madikamar. Rabbi Shmuel says anything that comes from wood, you're not allowed to use for the oil for your Nar Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Baroka Omer Ema Likin El Biyotzi Min Apri. You can only use that which is a product of the pri, not that which is a product of the eight. But also that we already saw from the previous Tana. What's he adding? When he says only that which comes from pri, you're also not allowed to use fats from a fish or anything like that, something that doesn't even come from plant life at all. Fats from a fish are also not allowed to be used. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ein Madlikin Ela B'Shemen Zayis B'Lavad. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, we don't have to mess around with any of that. Don't use anything other than Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis is the only thing you're allowed to use. Amad Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri El Raglav. Rabbi Yochum Ben Uri got up on his feet when he heard that. What? You're not allowed to so you're not allowed to use anything other than shemen zayis. And he said, "Mayasu anshe bavel shein lam el shemen shum shemin." What are the anshe bavel going to do? They don't have. They only have sesame oil. "Mayasu anshe madai shein lam el shemen agozim." And what are the anshe madai going to do? They only have shemen agozim. They don't have shemen zayis. "Mayasu anshe Alexandria shein lam el shemen tznonos." Meaning, it's easy to make a chumrah when you have the thing you want to be machmir with available to you, but you have to take into account all the other communities. They don't have all these things. So how are they going to be yotzei the mitzvah? The Ben Yoyada says, that's what Amar al Raglav, he was trying to say, that whenever you make a gzeira, you have to make sure that the gzeira has amida v'kiyum, that the gzeira is going to be able to stand up, that the gzeira is going to be something that can last. So he's Amar al Raglav to physically demonstrate what this gzeira is lacking. It's not going to have any amida v'kiyum, because you're doing something that's going to be impossible for most people. I also found it fascinating that we do find in Rishonim already a discussion about zayis, when we talk about a shear of a kezayis. So I think there's a Mordechai somewhere that says, you know, that with all the discussion of how big a kezayis is, he says, "I once saw an olive," and it's you know, he describes it like it was this amazing thing that he actually got to see. You know, there were full communities that never saw a zayis, so that obviously caused a lot of trouble in terms of figuring out the shear of a kezayis if you never actually saw what an olive looks like. So you could say, come with all the measurements using the fingers and the eggs and everything else, but if you never saw a zayis, it's going to be very, very difficult to measure a kezayis. But anyway, so he says, so what do you expect these people to do? Mayas v'anshe kaputke, shein lem lokach v'lokach el neif. And what are the anshe kaputke going to do? Ein l'chal mashar m'cham mein l'madikin. No, rather, what do we say? What the chachamim tell us in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to use to light with. That's what you're not allowed to use to light with. Everything else, you can light with. U'madikin b'shemen dagim, u'be'itran. You're allowed to use shemen dagim and itran. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri omer, madikin b'shemen pakuos u'be'neif. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that you're allowed to use shemen pakuos and neif. Sumchus omer kolayotzi min abasar ein madikin bo, ela b'shemen dagim. Sumchus says that you're not allowed to use anything that comes from flesh of an animal except for shemen dagim. So says in Sumchus hainu tanakama. Sumchus is saying the same thing as the previous Tana. Wait a second, we just had like eight different Tanaim. Which previous Tana? So says Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He's saying the same thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, depasil kol hanach temasnisin v'chelev imni bahadayu davayotzi min abasar, that pasels every thing in the Mishnah, including chelev, which is a product of basa, which is a product of an animal flesh, va'achshu b'shemen dagim, but he allows shemen dagim. Sumchus seems to be saying the same thing. Sumchus says anything that's yosei min abasar is no good, like the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held, but shemen dagim is good. So says Gemara, no, what's the difference between Sumchus and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Ikebenayu derav brona amar rav. Nafkamina between them is, do they accept Rav Brona Amar Rav? Rav Brona Amar Rav says that if you want to use shemen dagim, you got to put a little bit of regular shemen in it as well. You have to put a little bit of shemen zayis, let's say, in it also to make some sort of tarogas. Veloma saimi. But it's unclear who holds like Rav Brona Amar Rav, who does not hold like Rav Brona Amar Rav. That's not abundantly clear. Now, typically speaking, Tulsa says, we would normally assume that the earlier Tana gives the less expansive Shita, and the later Tana comes to include more, comes to expand more. He says over here, what I mean include more is include more in the Chumrah, that the earlier Tana will say something that's more makel, and then the later Tana will come to say, as we mentioned more tonight, we're going to come to add more and more Chumras. So it says the only problem is over here you can't say it, because the earlier Tana uses the Lashon Ein lecha ela ma. So from the fact that he says umadigum b'shem dagum u'beitran, sounds like only these. So from the sounds like the earlier Tana is trying to be extra machmir. So that's why it's lo masaymi. We can't just go with the regular rules of what the earlier Tana and later Tana generally try to do. How are they arguing in the machlokas of Rav Brona? So Rashi has two possibilities. Either Rav Brona says tzarich lasis l'tocha shemen kolshu, they have to add a little bit of oil into it. Inami da'achshar chelav muhutach b'tarovas shemen kolshu. Chad me'anach tanai savrul de Rav Brona de'chelav nitar b'tarovas avol shemen dagim afilu b'nei. Says the other way to understand it is, now, when it comes to shemen dagim, you could use pure shemen dagim. That's fine. The question is, using chelav muhutach, if you use fat that's been melted down. So remember, Rav Brona is the one that taught that if you use fat that's melted down, so you can add a little bit of regular oil, and then even chelav you're allowed to use. It's even matir to use chelav. So that's the question. One, do we hold of that? Do we hold that even when you're using chelav muhutach, adding a little bit of oil would be okay. The Tosos discusses that shemen dagim may not be exactly what we're picturing over here. It may not be the fats of the fish. Tosos points out in the second wide line, shemen dagim is maybe shemen sheba me'eno shel dag, the shemen that comes from the eye of the fish. The Gemara in Bava Basra in Amochres Hasfina and all the Agaritas at the beginning of Perek Amochres Hasfina tells us migalgalta de'ena tlas mea garbi mishcha, that they were able to take from the eye of a certain fish 300 jugs of oil. So apparently some fish, their eyes produce certain amount of oil. It's not to the fats of the fish. Okay, Tanya, Vaiter in the Gemara. Tanya, three lines from the bottom. Shum ben Elazar Omer, kol ha-yotze min ha-eitz, ein bo mishum sholosh al sholosh. Any product of wood is not going to be subject to the halacha that something that's the size of that a beged that's the size of 3x3 etzbaos can be mekabel tumah, because it's not called a beged even if it's 3x3 etzbaos. Umesachin bone, anything that comes from wood, you're allowed to use a schach on a sukkah. It's kosher to use a schach chutz mi pishton, with the exception of pishton. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon and Lozer v'tan debei Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Davar Achar. Rabbi Shimon and Lozer v'tan debei Rabbi Shmuel say the same thing. Meaning, where does Rabbi Shimon and Lozer get the idea that we could exclude other begadim from tumah if not for the fact that he holds of tan debei Rabbi Shmuel, and that when we say yotzi min eitz is lav dafka, rather notza shalizim and all the other things that are not semer pishtim are also not considered begadim. Where do we find that? The Gemara explains Rabbi Shimon and Lozer adi amar. We just said where Rabbi Shimon and Lozer is talking. Where do we find Tan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel that limits begadim, that limits the definition of a beged? Since the Torah Stam uses the term beged, and it never defines what is a beged except for in one place. And in one place it tells us tzemer upishtim. So where does it tell us that? That's by nigei begadim, by tzaras on a beged. It uses the term tzemer upishtim to describe begadim, that only wool and linen. So we darshin mala alan tzemer upishtim. I've called tzemer upishtim that when it comes to nigei begadim, we only consider tzemer upishtim to be a beged. So too everywhere else, tzemer upishtim is considered a beged. Anything that's not made of tzemer upishtim is not considered a beged. Rashi points out by Tumas Shratzim, Pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, O beged O ar. By Tumas Meis, V'chol beged V'chol kli ar. So what does beged mean? Beged means tzemer upishtim. What you also see from there is that ar is not a beged. That something that's made out of leather is not a beged. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch already writes this in Hilchos Tzitzis and Simin Yud, that a talus shel ar is potter from tzitzis. And the Achronim explain, because when it comes to ar, it's not a davar anerag. It's not used with threads that are woven together. It's not made with, it's just one flat sheet. And anything that's made out of a flat sheet that's not woven together with threads is not going to be considered a beged and is therefore not chayv in tzitzis. That's the question. What if you have something that could be made like rayon, that could be made as a flat sheet? What if they make threads out of it and they weave it together? Does it then take on the status of a beged? That's part of the discussion with these mesh tzitzis. If they're not made out of cotton, if they're made out of rayon, it could be that they're not chayv in tzitzis to begin with. That's one of the issues. The other issue is that it may not be called a beged if it's parut meruba la'omed, you know, if there are more holes than there is material. Okay, Rava Amar, shloshal shlosha b'shar begadim ikabinayu. That the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and Lazar, Rabbi Shmuel, is what about a beged that's 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim by non-semer upishtim? Rabbi Shimon and Lazar islay, latanda Rabbi Shmuel leslay. Rabbi Shimon and Lazar would say it is a beged, Rabbi Shmuel would say not. To kuli amamiya shloshal shlosh b'semer upishtim mitame b'negayim. But everyone would hold that 3 by 3 etzbaos by tzemer upishtim is mitame b'negayim. Min nala, and where do we know that to be the case? Titania, we have a braisa, beged, ainli, ela beged, shalosh al shalosh minayin. From the word beged, we would only know a real beged. How do I know 3 by 3 atzbos is enough? Tamalomar, viha beged. That's what the pasuk says, viha beged. Mitzvahisim points out Rabbi Shmuel never darshan's vavs in Kalatora Kula, but over here it's a vav hey. And a vav and a hey together, even Rabbi Shmuel would darshan, even though he normally doesn't darshan's vavs. Ve'ema l'rabo shlosh al shlosha, maybe viha beged is coming to tell me only if it's 3 by 3. Tfachim, not if it's 3 by 3 at Zbaos. Lav Kal V'chomer, the Gemara says, no, 3 by 3 Tfachim we already know from a Kal V'chomer. Hashta Shasiva Arev Metame. If you have the horizontal and vertical thread together, that's already enough to be Metame. Shlosh al Shlosh Mibayis, so if you have a full beggar that's 3 by 3 Tfachim, of course that's already Metame. Well, then, by that logic, we should know that 3x3 etzbaos is metame from a kal v'chomer. We wouldn't need any special drushes. Now, the reason that 3x3 tfachim, which is obviously much larger than 3x3 etzbaos, we would know from a kal v'chomer that it's metame, is because 3x3 tfachim is a substantial size that even an usher, it would be chashiv even for an usher, even for someone who's wealthy. Shalosh al shalosh la'aniyim u'dechazion la'ashirim lo chazion lo asi b'kal v'chomer. But 3x3 etzbaos, which is only usable for an ani and is not usable for an ashir, that would not be included in the kal v'chomer. Time of the kasvei krad, so that's why I need the pasuk to tell it to me. Hello kasvei krad, lo gamrinu b'kal v'chomer. Sounds like had the pasuk not told it to me, I would not have known shalosh al shalosh etzbaos from a kal v'chomer. Ve'emel rabo shlosh al shlosha b'shar begadim. But maybe the pasuk is not coming to tell me 3x3 etzbaos of tzemer upishtim. Maybe the chiddush of the pasuk is that included in the definition of beged is 3x3 tvachim of other materials, of non tzemer upishtim materials. Amakra beged tzemer upishtim. Beged tzemer upishtim in midiachrini lo. The pasuk dafka says that no, the beged has to be defined as something made of tzemer upishtim and nothing else. No, maybe the pasuk is telling me for tzemer upishtim, it's not gonna, for non tzemer upishtim, it cannot be a beged if it's only 3x3 etzbaos. But maybe if it's 3x3 tzvachim, even non tzemer upishtim takes on the status of a beged. So tre miyutik sivi. That's why we have two miyutim in the pasuk. Beged tzemer, oh, bebeged pishtim. One to tell me that a beged that's not made out of tzemer upishtim, if it's less than 3x3 etzbaos, doesn't count as a beged. And the other to tell me that even if it's 3x3 tfachim, if it's not made out of tzemer upishtim, it does not count as a beged. Okay, we'll stop there and pick up from Rava tomorrow.